What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Pickleball Connection Podcast. I'm Danae.
And I'm Barrett.
And we are stoked to be hanging out with you guys today. Today, we're going to be doing a segment that we call CTN, which is Cruise the News. This is where we give you all the latest updates in the pickleball world. So let's get into it.
For over 10 years, innovation has been at the core of who we are at Selkirk. We take risks, we test, we evolve. Introducing the Selkirk Lab 007. With an Infinigrid surface that lasts at least three times longer than rock carbon, and a titanium mesh layer for added power, while maintaining the largest sweet spot available. Because good is never good enough.
Yeah, so let's get right into it today. Today we're going to be talking about something that many of you have probably already seen online or witnessed. This has gone way beyond the pickleball world. I think it's been on Barstool Sports. It's gone viral. And even though it might be old news by the time you're consuming this podcast, we have to talk about this because many of you probably saw the viral video online of the kick heard around the world in pickleball. So if you did not see this, you've probably been living under a rock, but we're going to set the scene for you and we're going to kind of break down this and analyze this. And I kind of want to get some of your thoughts on maybe how you would have reacted in this situation if you were a partner, if you were a player.
Perfect. I think for those who haven't seen it, you should probably describe the scenario.
Yeah, that's what I was about to do. So what happened here, there was a tournament going on, I believe in Mexico. And it was a medal match. I think it was the championship match. And basically, the game ended. And I think the points leading up to match point were pretty dramatic.
A little feisty, maybe.
A little feisty. And the game ended on a foot fault call. So the referee called a foot fault on the losing team. Mm-hmm. And the team that won, one of the players went berserk. He is like, come on. And he like was like celebrating the victory, but it also is kind of like, it's ended on a foot fault, you know. Mm-hmm. And the ball was going to go out anyway, so the foot fault didn't really matter. But they're going up to do the infamous paddle tap, which many of you, if you've been playing pickleball for more than a week, you know that at the end of the game, you go up to the net and you tap paddle, say good game. So they're coming up. This guy yells, come on, after the foot fault call. Game is over, match point. They're going up to tap paddles, and as they tap paddles, the guy on the winning team slaps the paddle out of the hand of the guy that lost and the guy that just had the foot fault called on him.
Yeah.
So
paddle falls on the ground.
First off, I don't know what I would have do if somebody slapped a paddle out of my hand when I went to paddle tap them. We'll get into that in a second, but paddle gets slapped onto the ground. And then I think this guy that slapped the paddle out of his hand kind of immediately felt bad because he reaches down
to grab it,
to pick up the paddle and give it back to the guy. Mm-hmm. And as he does this, this guy kicks him, freaking roundhouse kicks him in the face. And this guy goes down. It looks like he just got knocked out in a boxing match. He goes down and all these people kind of like come to the defense. People are freaking out. You saw this first off, and we'll put the link to this, or maybe we'll show this in the actual podcast, but we'll put the link to this either way if you haven't seen it yet. But when you first saw this, what were you thinking?
I mean, it was shocking. It was like the craziest. It really is the craziest thing I've probably ever seen on a pickleball court. To see someone literally just kick somebody in the face. I mean, it's pretty like, it was like pretty violent, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, if you go back and watch it, this guy, I mean, but if you watch this guy, he clearly slaps the paddle out of his hand.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, he just won and he's slapping the paddle out of the hand of the guy that just caused them to lose
right
on game point.
Right.
So what would you do first off if somebody, you're going to tap paddles, you just lost and someone slaps the paddle out of your hand, what would you do?
I mean, I'd probably say something like, dude, that's not cool. Or I'd probably say something. I'd probably just say something. I would literally never.
What would you say? You say like, that's not cool, man.
Yeah, I would just feel like that's not cool.
Yeah.
Probably just leave it at that.
Right.
What would you do?
I don't know. I'd probably get a little heated.
Here's the other thing. You know, he actually bent down to pick it up. Like, I don't think that he.
I know, but he. If you go back and watch the clip, he clearly slaps it out of his hands. It's not like he didn't mean to slap it out of his hands. I think right after he did it, he was like, "I probably should have done that." And he comes down to.
Okay, I hear you. But also, I'm like, is he just like freaking stoked that they won, and he just like went to like.
I thought that at first, but I went back and watched it, and I was like, does he clearly, like, slap this out of his hand with, like, ill intent? And it kind of looks like he does.
Okay. Well,
so I could be wrong about that. Maybe he was just still hyped, and yeah, he had blood coursing through his veins.
That's maybe my question is, like, was he just freaking stoked?
But I think, just, like, I don't know. I think this guy was kind of in the wrong for slapping his paddle out of his hands. But yeah. I think, obviously, it's an emotional game, you know? And he just won, and he's stoked. There was obviously some buildup, maybe some animosity between these players, like, throughout the game. But yeah, I don't know. I think if you go back and watch it, he clearly slaps it out of his hand, but he bends down to pick it up, and this guy kicks him in the face, and he gets knocked out. I think he had to go to the hospital.
That's crazy, dude.
So let me ask you this. Let's say you're on the winning team. Okay. You're not the guy that gets knocked out.
Yeah.
But you're this guy's partner.
Yeah.
And let's say you and I are playing together.
Someone kicked you in the face.
And we win the match. We go in and I like slap the paddle out of the guy's hand across the net. And then I'm like, shoot, I shouldn't have done that. I reach down to pick it up. And this guy across the net kicks me in the face and I go down. What do you do?
I mean, I probably just like see if you're okay and ten, like figure out how to help you.
I guess it's different if it's like mixed couples, but I think if there's like four guys, someone comes from my partner, I'm like, dude,
you would literally get in a fight. Tell me right now.
I don't know. I would probably like step in between them and like, I'd have my partner's back, you know? I don't know. It's just like, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's a wild scenario.
I mean, it's a wild scenario. You guys really should watch it because it's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Maybe it is different between guys and girls.
Yeah, I'm not gonna freaking fight somebody.
What if it was four girls? Cat fight?
Or? Dude, girls are scary. You seen girls fight? Scary.
What if it was four girls and someone did that to?
I cannot imagine.
Like, I think what you're saying is your first response would be to check on your partner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to.
No, I wouldn't go fight people over a wiffle ball game. Just wouldn't,
but it's not a wiffle ball game at that point. At that point, your partner just got knocked out. Your partner just got kicked in the face.
Yeah, it's not cool. But I don't think adding more violence to a violent situation is very helpful.
Yeah, I hear that. I will say, as I rewatched this video on social media, I did kind of, sometimes I just scan the comments because I'm curious at what people would say.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few people that like felt like this guy that kicked the guy should be like banned from pickleball tournaments, should not be able to play.
Dude, I think he should 1,000% be banned for a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you think like the repercussion should be for something like this? 1,000%.
I think he should not be able to play a tournament for like 4 months. Maybe go to counseling.
Okay, I hear that. But like I do also think like it'd be one thing if this guy didn't like slap the paddle of his hand. Like, does this guy deserve any fine?
Here's the deal.
Or is he just like exonerated because he got knocked out?
I don't think he should have slapped the paddle. I think one, if he actually slapped the paddle out of his hand, that's a poor, really, really poor gamesmanship. It's almost like, you know, when people throw a paddle, they get fined. I think he should get fined, if anything, or something. If he really intentionally, like, boom.
I guess it's also hard because it's the amateurs. Like, it's hard to find amateurs. Like, you could find the pros, but it's hard to, like, find amateur players.
Yeah, but I don't think it's impossible. Here's the deal. I think the kick is a way bigger deal than the paddle slap.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you go watch it, it's clearly. But I think this guy, he's like, he thought at that moment, the gloves are off. You just slapped the paddle out of my hand. You are coming at me.
I think he needs some counseling and some help and some anger management skills.
Maybe, or maybe they both do. I don't know.
Yeah, they probably both do, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I need counseling. We all need counseling, I think.
Everybody does
therapy. Therapy's good,
but
big fan of
I think it's just so I think it's shocking and it's like wild to see. And that's why it went super viral. It makes me incredibly sad that someone would respond like that.
Yeah, it's crazy too, because it got blasted beyond.
Oh, it's mega viral.
Beyond pickleball realms, you know? Yeah. And so it's kind of, I do think it kind of like, pickleball is still small enough to where it kind of paints pickleball in a bad light, because people already kind of have their hesitations toward pickleball if they have never played before. And it kind of has this weird name. It's quirky.
Yeah.
It's trending. And I think there's pickleball haters out there. So I think this is like great fuel for the pickleball haters, which kind of sucks. But I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting. I was wild. I rarely rewatch videos. Like, I probably rewatched it a half a dozen times because I was like, what happened? And I'm like, every time I rewatch it, I'm like watching
people.
Yeah. What are the people around? Like, how would I react?
Did we figure that out? How would you react?
I don't know. I think like if I'd get involved.
You would?
I mean, I wouldn't get involved in the sense I'd be like trying to like fight, but I would try. I'd be trying to protect my partner, and I'd like step in between, you know, like,
I mean, he didn't keep attacking him. It was like one kick and then he finished.
Well, he was like knocked out. There was nothing to continue.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, what are you going to get between him and a knocked out guy?
Well, I mean, the guy was still pretty heated afterwards. If you watch him, he's like storming off. He's talking.
I know,
still.
But he's like not continuing to like go at them.
Well, I would make sure. I mean, at this point, he just kicked this guy. He's just not going to, I would be like, I'm not going to let this guy knock or get my, you know, hit my friend while he's down, twist the knife, you know? But I don't know. I think I would like to, I wouldn't like start a fight for the sake of starting a fight. That's not what I'm saying. I would like be trying to prevent further action from being taken, like stepping in between, like, all right, guy, chill, calm down, you know?
Yeah.
Wild. If you guys haven't seen it,
go watch it.
Go watch it. And if you have seen it, let us know in the comments, what do you think should have happened on both sides? Should there be punishment for this guy kicking this other guy? Do you think that the guy that slapped the paddle out of his hand should be at fault at all? Let us know what you think in the comments, because it's a wild video to watch, and we'll try to link it to the podcast so you can watch it again.
Yeah.
Because it's honestly, it's a great rewatch.
All right. You ready for the next one?
Yeah. Let's go on to the next one.
So I just saw this on Selkirk's website, and it's like the perfect thing to use if you're trying to get pickleball gifts for your loved ones this holiday season. I'm trying to get my parents into pickleball, so I have to go get them like paddles, the whole shebang, and I'm going to take you guys through literally what I'm going to get them.
This is what it looks like. So first you choose a pickleball paddle. So these are all the paddles. I really want to get them the Halo Control. I'm gonna get the Max in pink for my mom. So I'll add that. So that's in my bundle. And then next, you can choose two accessories. I'm gonna get this hat. I think that's really cute. And this, like, oh wait, duh, have to get pickleballs.
And then look, you literally get a percentage off your bundle. Like, dude, that's so easy. I'm gonna do this for everyone in my family because selfishly I want them all to be obsessed with pickleball like me. But this is a great way to just bundle up some gifts for people if you guys are doing that for the holiday, and you get that 15% off. So I might just have to get me a new bundle. I don't know.
What do you got for us?
So this was a post on The Kitchen, and it got a lot of engagement, and I kind of want to pick your brain. So this person asks, here's a question for the 4-5 plus players. What's the one thing you know now that you wish you knew when you first started playing pickleball?
I think I could think of a couple. Do you have one on the top of your head or not really?
I mean, I have some. For sure.
I'm still kind of formulating my thoughts. Okay. So you go.
I'll read some comments because I think that lot of people kind of gave some comments. So this person says,
So this guy's asking specifically, he's like, I only want your advice if you're 4-5 plus.
Yeah, literally. So this person says, control trumps power. The enjoyment we have as a pickleball group far exceeds our competitive spirit, and we are very competitive. I don't know what that has to do with the first part, but basically, he says control trumps power. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think it's a control. It's a finesse game. I think I kind of picked that up pretty quick in pickleball, but I do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you think when you first started playing, were you trying to hit too hard?
No.
Yeah.
We
have a different background.
We have a different background. I think if you come from like tennis or racket sports, you have the technique that creates a lot of power. But yeah, when you get to the higher level, you realize, yeah, control placement, that's the bread and butter of the game.
I mean, there's definitely times maybe when
power's important.
Yeah, there's definitely times when I first started playing, maybe when I'd be like at the net and there'd be like a pop-up or something, and I'd maybe try too hard to put the ball away and hit the ball into the net or hit it long. You know, I think that's probably pretty common, but I do think I was a little bit more aware, like this control's important. Like I picked that up pretty quick.
Yeah.
But I do think that that's a great tip for people that maybe think you can just overpower people, because there's holes in this ball. You know, you really can't. You can overpower people sometimes, yeah, but a lot of times the ball comes back.
Yep. This person says the split step. Just before the ball is hit back to you, stop and split step, especially through the transition zone. This is so huge. I feel like I didn't learn about this until, yeah, 4-5. 4-0, 4-5.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
I mean, honestly, when you first asked me what I would say, the first thing that I thought is I just remember myself when I first started playing pickleball, just like sprinting to the line.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know I need to get to the kitchen, but I would just kind of run through the transition zone. They would just hit the ball at my feet, and now I'm kind of out of control.
Yeah.
I remember even somebody, one of the first, when we first started playing, the first time I had, I mean, there was a couple times I had like coach figures or people that kind of mm-hmm. were able to like analyze my game. And one of the first pieces of advice I got from somebody that kind of was giving me feedback was like, you're out of control on your way to, on your way to the kitchen line.
Yeah.
Like, slow down. It's okay to hit a ball in transition. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try to slow down a little bit. I think the flip side of that, though, is sometimes people don't advance when they should.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, I think the split step's super important. If you haven't played like tennis before, I feel like tennis players are pretty good at this, but just not running through your shots, it makes a huge difference in transition. So I love that comment.
Yeah. Let's see.
Do you have any other tips? This person says, let out balls go.
Classic. I would say
huge.
The other thing that came to my mind, because specifically this guy is talking like 4-5+.
4-5+.
Which I would say I'm like 4-5 to 5-0. Like I'm probably, you know, I'm not.
We both play 5-0, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm probably in the 4-5 to 5-0 level. I don't
4-5, 5-0. Yeah, that's accurate. Both of us.
But like, I think. Yeah, so I guess I would qualify to answer this question, but I would say for me, I think that being ready for the next ball, you know what I mean? Like I think a lot of times below 4-5, 4-0 and below, you're kind of thinking that you hit a winner and you're not prepped for the next ball. And that even goes to like when you're speeding the ball up, if the ball's kind of sits up and bounces a little bit higher when you're kind of dinking and you want to attack off the bounce, kind of hitting that, like learning that art of that, like 50% speed up where you're kind of just setting up the next ball and being ready and understanding how to, if this is what I give them, this is probably what I'm going to get. And you kind of start to think two shots ahead or three shots ahead.
Chess game.
You know, you don't just think about the shot you're hitting, but you're like, oh, I'm hitting this and now I'm going to slide my feet to this position because the ball's probably going to come back to this position. I think that's something that 4-5+ players do, is that they recognize at that level, they're not going to just hit a winner every time, and they're actually setting up the winner. They're not hitting the winner on the first shot.
Right. Yeah. I think another comment that I read that I really liked was playing high percentage shots. I think it can be really easy to just go for the most aggressive angle and go for the most aggressive angle put away and all this stuff. But the higher level players, like I was talking to one of our friends, he used to play pro back in the day and he's getting back into things and still plays at a very high level. And anytime I drill with him, he's always reminding me, like, go for the high percentage shot. Like don't play for these super low percentage, really amazing, risky angles. He's like, that's just honestly reckless. Like, play high percentage, and then when you have a high percentage ball that you can attack it. If you don't, probably not, you know, like, and it's so simple, but
it's interesting because, you know, I read a comment in here, somebody said kind of the opposite of that. They said hit more angles, but I think when you get to a certain level, like the more angles you give somebody,
the more angles they get.
Yeah, the more angles you get back. And I think if you run into somebody that has a really good shot in their arsenal, when you give them an angle, you kind of open that up. So I do think at like the 4-0 level.
Yeah, I think so.
I think angles really can beat people.
Yeah.
But when you get 4-5 plus, angles start to help the other team. And so exactly what you're saying, mm-hmm. hitting the shot that is higher percentage and maybe giving them less to work with because it's a higher percentage shot.
And again, this came from somebody who legit like plays pro. So I'm like,
yeah, because he's playing against people that
like, doesn't work.
If you watch the pro game, they do try to, that's the way they try to neutralize players, is by hitting to the middle of the court, taking away angles. You're even seeing more and more the right side player kind of come over and squeeze middle. And I think the reason that they're doing that is because I actually just feel like I figured this out. I'm like, why do we see the right side player, like in men's doubles, coming over and squeezing the middle more? And I think it's because people found out they could beat teams by dinking middle.
Yeah.
So Gabe Tardio is a great example. He comes over and he hugs, and he's able to take a lot of those middle dinks out of the air because he's hugging the middle, and he's able to redirect them out of the air, and he kind of takes away the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're hugging the middle like that, people are finding ways to combat these middle dinks by hugging the middle and making them hit angles, making them give them angles. Yeah. So I definitely think that, yeah, at the higher level, you definitely see that high percentage shots aren't just good so you don't make errors, but they also don't open up things for the other team.
Right. So yeah, if you guys have any advice that you would put in that category, like what would be something that you would tell yourself before or early on in your pickleball game, comment those down below. I'm super curious at what you guys would say to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you ready to go to the next one? Or
let's do it.
Cool. Yeah, so basically for the next one, we just wanted to kind of give everyone an update. If you're not familiar with the pro scene, there is a professional pickleball tour. There's the PPA tour, which is kind of the tour format where, you know, it's basically the best teams play against the best or the best partner pairs play against the best partner pairs in each division. And then there's the Major League Pickleball, which is kind of the team format where there's teams of four kind of represented by a city, and it's rally scoring and it's a little bit different. So coming up at the end of the year, we do have the MLP finals, which is the semifinals and the finals. There's basically four teams left. So that's coming up. But also we have coming up at the beginning of December, which is probably around, you know, this podcast may have just come out or maybe being released right around the time the finals happen. So we wanted to just talk about it because not a lot of people know how the PPA Tour finals work. And basically all year, the professional players are getting points. And you get points based off of how far you progress in the draw. So I think like if you get through the round of 16, you get a small percentage of points. If you get through the quarterfinals, you get more points. To the semifinals, more points. And obviously the finals, if you get to the finals, you get points. If you win the finals, you get more points. So these accumulate and each player has their own points, and you get points not in each event. So if I was a professional player and I played men's doubles, mixed doubles, and singles, I would have points, a separate set of points for each of those events. So you could be in the top points in mixed and not in the top points in gender doubles. And so what happens is for the PPA Tour finals, the top eight teams make the finals. And so in men's and women's doubles, it's the top 16 players, because they would each pair up making eight teams. So the top 16 players, and I think the way that they do it is based off of points, like whoever's ranked number one gets the first pick from the rest of the players.
They kind of get to draft.
They kind of get to draft partner accordingly. Like if you just made it into the top 16, like I think in men's doubles, I think I could probably pull it up, but I think in men's doubles, like James Ignatowicz, just made it into the men's doubles. I think he was higher up in mixed than he was in men's. But he probably does, you know, he's not going to get to his,
he's
pick.
Not going to choose his partner.
He's not going to get to choose his partner because he's further down the list. But yeah, so the top 16 men make up 8 men's doubles teams. The top 16 women make up 8 women's doubles teams. And then the top 8 females and top 8 males make up 8 mixed doubles teams. So we're going to get to see some new matchups, which I think will be pretty interesting. But we're also going to see some of those top teams, like Ben's going to play with Colin and Ben's going to play with Annalie. Obviously, they get top picks, so they're going to probably be. But the teams that get further down are going to kind of be maybe new matchups because they're only getting to pick from a certain pool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a couple things. So we just wanted to kind of fill you in on what's coming. I wanted to point out just a couple. I don't know if you've looked at this list, but I think that some exciting matchups that I'm excited for. We have Gabe Tardio and Anna Bright, which they play on the same MLP team, and their MLP team has done really well, the St. Louis Shock. So they're going to be in the finals together. But I think Anna usually plays with Hayden in MLP. So seeing her with Gabe, that's going to be a really fun pair. And then on the men's doubles side, I thought it seemed really fun. J.W. Johnson is going to be playing with Gabe Tardio and Fed and Hayden. Obviously, we've seen Fed and Hayden play together before, but that's kind of my hope. I don't even know if they're going to be on the same side of the bracket, but I would love to see personally J.W. Johnson and Gabe Tardio playing Fed and Hayden. I think that would be so fun.
Yeah, that'd be a cool matchup.
I think seeing Hayden and Gabe continue to ascend and continue to kind of shape the way the game's played. And then obviously Federico Stacture is a top five player probably in each event. Maybe just slides out of the top five in mixed. I don't know. But he's a top player. And then, I think obviously J-Dub also a top probably 3 player in the world. So, I think that would be my preference. We also have Dylan Frazier playing with Pablo Tellez, which will be interesting. Riley Newman's playing with Jaume Martinez-Vick. I thought that was interesting that Jaume slid into the men's doubles, I think because him and Tyson had some success early in the year. And then obviously, like, there's not really any huge shocks on the women's doubles side. It's a lot of matchups that we've seen before. I think that's just the way that it worked. The only one I really haven't seen play together, or maybe the three that are kind of different, Georgia Johnson's playing with Lacey Schneeman, Tina Pisnik and Paris Todd, and Mari Humberg and Jesse Irvine. All the other ones, Anna Bright, Rachel, Annalie, Catherine, Etta Megan, Tyra Elise, Lucy Callie, all those we've seen before.
Yeah.
And then, on the mixed double side, I think James Ignatowicz is playing with Etta Wright. That'll be a fun one. And then Anna Bright and Gabe, like I mentioned, all the other ones we've kind of seen before. So we've got some new matchups coming this way. Do you have any things that you're excited for watching the finals, or any of those teams that you think will do well, or what are you kind of anticipating the finals are like?
Sorry, can I look at this?
Yeah. It's on two separate things, so.
So I think I'm excited just to see new matchups. I think we see a lot of the same ones over and over and over and over. So this is kind of like a fresh breath of air. I don't know. Yeah. It's almost like that's what opens what we like about MLP is there's just different matchups. Mm-hmm. And so the matchups that I'm excited about, I would think, I love seeing Hayden and Fed. They've already played together. But like you said, I think J.W. Johnson and Gabe Tardio would just be a beast to play. Like
that's the two matches that I'm hoping end up together.
I am such a big fan of Gabe Tardio's game. Mm-hmm. I think he's revolutionizing the right side player and making the right side player feel like a star, which I feel like it is. Like, I feel like the right side needs some recognition, and I feel like Gabe Tardio just is the best right side player in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's one I'm really looking forward to. I feel like, let's see, for mixed, again, seeing Anna Bright and Gabe Tardio will be really fun. And Etta Wright and James, that's an interesting pair. But I feel like Etta Wright, again, Etta Wright to me is one of the best mixed player women, I think, in the game.
Yeah, she's great.
I love her. And if people don't know this, I'm a huge Mari Humberg fan. So I love to see her up there because she really is one of my favorite women's players.
Yeah, it's cool that she slid in there because, I mean, she's gotten a lot of recognition at MLP playing on Annalie's team, but this isn't MLP. This is the PPA.
This is the PPA, and she deserves this spot. Like, she has been grinding. She's an incredible women's player. She is the best backhand flick in the women's game, in my opinion. And I'm just, honestly, I'm kind of like a fangirl of Mari Humberg. I just absolutely love her.
Yeah, I think, honestly, that'll be a team to watch for sure. My kind of, if I was going to make quick predictions, since we're filming this before, so I kind of want to see if I'm right. I think it depends on, in the men's side, who's on the same side of the bracket, like as Ben and Colin. But I do think if I had to pick, I think Fed and Hayden might take it. I think they're just,
I would love to see that.
I think that they're just a really good team. Hayden's playing at a really high level. Him and Fed have been pretty much lights out.
Been dominant.
That would be my guess to win it. Although
over Ben and Colin.
Although I would, yeah, honestly, I think there's some tough teams in here, and I don't know if Ben and Colin are even going to make it to the championship.
Ooh,
so
it's a little hot.
I mean, I think that they're going to really want it with it being the finals. So, I mean, obviously you can't count Ben Johns out. But J-Dub and Gabe, dark horse. I mean, I think I almost picked them to win it. But
here's the thing. What I like about them is no one's played them in this, like, as a team before. So I feel like similarly when Hayden and Fed came out, no one had played them as a team before.
Yeah.
Like, Ben and Colin don't have tapes of JW and
Gabe, and that's honestly like the opposite of that is kind of why I picked Hayden. I wanted to pick Gabe and J-Dub to win it. But the reason I picked Hayden and Fed is just because they've had a ton of success. I think they played two tournaments together and won two tournaments together. I think they've been pretty lights out. So.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, I'm not saying they'll win because they haven't played together, but I'm just saying,
I think
they're going to rock some people because people don't have a predetermined strategy going into the game.
Right. On the women's side, I think Catherine and Annalie, I don't think there's a different way I could go there. And then on the mixed side, I think Ben and Annalie.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be my honest guesses. And then, you know, I guess you could make some dark horse kind of selections, but I think that's my thoughts.
Yeah.
I think dark horse maybe be Anna Bright and Gabe.
Yeah. Me too. I think that was what I'd say.
If there was a team that could beat Ben and Catherine, I mean, obviously Ben and Annalie. Obviously, J-Dub and Georgia have done it before, but that's just been a very lopsided series when you look at the history of their matchups. So yeah, we'll see what happens. If you guys aren't familiar, now you're kind of updated a little bit with how the finals works. That's coming up, I believe, December 4th through December 8th. And then I can't remember if MLP's on the front or back end of that, but we got end of the year, we got some big kind of finals and pickleball coming up before we break for the holidays and get kicked off with what's going to be, I think, a wild 2025. So
go ahead.
You're good. I think we were both going to close it out.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, guys. So thanks so much for hanging out with us today on today's episode of the Pickleball Connection. As always, leave us a like, give us a review, and leave us a comment below on anything you'd like us to cover on a future episode. And we will see you on the next one.